Hey, welcome back to my regular listeners and to all the new listeners. I am Tammy, and this is Women Committing Crimes. Finally got one in on time, it looks like. Hopefully. I haven't edited and uploaded yet, but I'm recording it on the right day. I hope you liked the last episode. I had an amazing time with my guest, Byron Alexander, from the podcast Off Kilter No Filter. I will definitely have him back. I got such a great response from everyone about it. Byron is a fantastic artist and so much fun to work with. If you love the brief intro and outro for this podcast, those are Byron's songs from his Square One album. And later on, I'll give you information about how to get that and what those songs are. And yes, keep those emails coming. They are marvelous. I'll read one each episode in the feedback section. But if you don't want me to read yours, please let me know. If you like or preferably love this podcast, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcast. Any other podcaster, give me feedback in the comment sections. Tripping over myself today. It's weird. I'm kind of in a hurry, I will admit, because I got to go pick up my son's suit for homecoming this weekend. So I'm anxious to see it on him. It looked good before they tailored it, so we'll find out. But anyway, yes, comments would be great. I really need those comments. I can only get better if I know what I need to improve on. So make sure that you let me know. Give me, you know, the stars that you, because giving the stars, that's great. Yes, I like that too, but I really kind of need the constructive, you know, feedback. So the ratings on podcasting sites helps this podcast get more exposure and make it more popular. And of course, I'd love to do that, but definitely I would love to make it better. So, you know, give me some insight. Okay. And now for the feedback section, there's an email here from Tabitha in Cleveland, Ohio. She says, "Hi, Tammy. I love your podcast. I wish it was still every week, but I understand why it's every 2 weeks. I have 3 kids of my own. They aren't as old as yours, but very active, and we are all over the place all the time. Anyway, I want to say that I loved the episode about Martha Stewart. She's fantastic, and I've learned a lot from her, especially recently. I went back to see if I could find those old episodes you talked about with the school lunches, and my kids love the apple idea. Thanks, Martha and Tammy. P.S. Byron is hilarious, and you guys make a great team. I'll try to listen to Off Kilter No Filter. Sounds like a lot of fun. Sincerely, Tabitha." Thanks so much, Tabitha. Glad I could set you up with some great Martha stuff. For those of you who didn't have a chance to listen to the previous episode about Martha Stewart, from her, I learned a lot of, you know, cool lunch things. Take an apple, kind of dig it out. Not all of it. You want to keep some of the flesh because apple. Put some peanut butter in it, mix with some raisins and stuff, and then carve your child's name on the outside. Now, if they have a really super duper long name, maybe their nickname would be good to put on the outside. My daughter's name at the time was Joy, so it was really easy. But she loved that. She liked the personal touch of that. So glad you liked that too, Tabitha. Let's see. And I'll also tell Byron what you said. He'll truly appreciate the feedback also. He is hilarious. I agree. He's one of my best friends, my adopted son. He is an amazing person. So, yes, I will tell him what you said. Well, I would do some updates about Elizabeth Holmes, but there isn't a lot going on right now. I guess I had some 2 jurors be excused, but we'll get to that. I want to kind of do like a big, large update like I did last time in the beginning of the Martha Stewart episode. So I'm kind of waiting for some stuff to compile. Alrighty now, so let's go ahead and get to Jane Topan. I give you a little bit of a taste of that, of course, at the end of last episode. Sex, old people, and drugs, right? Seriously, she's fucking weird. But not the weirdest we've had on this show, but still, you know, ugh. Jane Topan was actually born Honora Kelly on March 31st, 1854, to Irish immigrants Peter and Bridget Kelly. Unfortunately, Bridget died when Honora was 1. She died of tuberculosis. Peter Kelly was a tailor who was an abusive alcoholic and some would have said truly insane. I guess the rumor was that he had tried to sew his eyelids together, being a tailor, and, you know, kind of went crazy. Well, so Honora's life did not, you know, start out that great, it seems. In 1860, the abusive Peter Kelly took 2 of his children, Honora, who was 6, and Delia, who was 8, I think that's how you pronounce it, to the Boston Female Asylum, which sounds worse than it was. Well, it was probably pretty shitty, I'll be honest with you. I can't imagine this not being shitty. It was an orphanage for poor children. So my question, I guess there is an orphanage for rich children. But that seems kind of weird, right? Usually, I guess there's family for rich children. Poor children, maybe not, especially Irish immigrants, right? Probably Bridget and Peter's family all lived back in Ireland, so there's nobody to take care of, their children. They had an older sister, Delia and Honora did, an older sister named Nellie, but by this time she was already in an insane asylum. So, okay, father crazy, sister crazy. Let's see where this goes. All right, so she and her sister Delia. Now, the rumor is, and I say rumor because a lot of this stuff, the time period, it's really hard to find records of stuff. So Delia, all I could find was that most sources said it was said that she became a prostitute later. Honora did get lucky in a way. In 1862, she was placed as an indentured servant in the home of Mrs. Anne C. Topan in Lowell, Massachusetts. Indentured servitude. So instead of adopting a child from the orphanage, what they did was they had her come and work in their home. Probably as a housekeeper. I think it was a housekeeper. And for a certain amount of years, and they would take care of her as far as like basically I mean the rest of us that did, I had to use the word chores, but the rest of us that had responsibilities in our houses growing up are like, hey, isn't this just regular childhood? But no, because so they brought her in. They were going to, have her go to school. They pay for her room and board and stuff, and then she works for them. So not only housekeeping, she cleans the house like a maid would, but she probably does other things. Anything that they probably need her to do, she has to do. Now, of course, we say that that's the same way with children, kinda. But the difference is, well, no, actually, a lot of this seems very much the same. But I would imagine that the Topan's children, one of them we'll talk about later, probably had more privileges than Honora did. They did change her name, however. They didn't officially adopt her, but they did change her name to Jane Topan. So they at least gave her a new identity instead of Honora Kelly. Time does go on. She works for them in their house, but she also went to school. She even had a boyfriend. Later, this boyfriend rejected her and married someone else. Now, this is when bad things start happening for Jane, meaning she becomes suicidal. She stays pretty much suicidal most of her life, from what I understand. And so this kind of starts a weird downward spiral for her morally. So, when she was 18, she graduated from Lowell High School and the Topans released her from her indenture. Which I guess this would be a difference, right? So like kids when they're 18 often leave home, go to college or whatever. And that's kind of what she's doing. But they don't have to come back and, clean the house and stuff like that, right? So had Honora, had Jane remained as an indentured servant, she probably would have had to just continue to clean the house and be the housekeeper and all that kind of stuff instead of going off to school. But she did. They gave her $50 when she graduated from high school and let her remain as a household servant, as a paid household servant. So, like, now she can actually, get money for it. However, it didn't last long. In 1885, she began training as a nurse at Cambridge Hospital. She was well liked, was outgoing, friendly, earned the nickname Jolly Jane, which is different than her private life, which again, there were a couple more suicide attempts from what I understand. But she did also have a reputation at Cambridge Hospital for petty thievery, stealing from patients. Some noticed also that a lot of her patients were dying seemingly sooner than what was expected, and by roughly the same means. What would be found out later was that Jane would pick her favorite patients, then she would experiment on them. She would give them overdoses of morphine or other drugs to see what it would do to the patient. So Cambridge becomes not happy with this, of course, and instead of firing her or calling the police, because I guess maybe they don't feel like they can prove it completely, I don't know, they recommended her to the Massachusetts General Hospital instead. So just push her on. Okay, so it seems like she might be killing people, so we'll just pass her on. At General Hospital, Jane claimed several more victims and then was eventually fired from General Hospital in 1890. And so, yeah, why did this go on so long? They weren't sure about the deaths. Her patients were all elderly people, and autopsies were usually only done on that type of patient if the family requested it. But these were old people who were in the hospital because they were dying probably anyway or had, like, diseases. So if they're in a hospital and they have, like, a disease and they die, well, that's, you know, this is the 1880s, so yeah, you know, it's possible. And if they're elderly and in the hospital just because they're elderly in their 70s, 80s, you know, during the 1880s, that's, you know, they're probably on death's door anyway, so they die and nobody thinks about it, right? So if a family member doesn't request an autopsy when it's not going to be done and they're not going to notice that, oh, maybe there was like a phenomenal amount of morphine in that person's body or strychnine or whatever, right? All right. So, interestingly enough, though, speaking of autopsies, when she was in nursing school, Jane was obsessed with autopsies. A lot of her fellow nursing students thought that was really weird because it wasn't, you know, she wanted to be like as many as she possibly could. So, all right. So she gets fired. So she gets fired. She gets accepted back at Cambridge, which is creepy and weird again. Maybe they had an administration change and they didn't know. Who knows? But she was finally fired from there also for administering opiates without a doctor's permission. But instead of just firing her, go off to the street, you know, you hell woman, whatever. She's recommended as a private nurse for rich families. Okay. Oh, the 1890s. So, here we're talking about a few notable people in her life. Now, they're not famous necessarily, but they were close to her. And so that kind of makes them, it's not like strangers in a hospital, right? It's not that kind of thing. Just know that there were lots of others in between. Lots and lots. Lots and lots. And lots of people that she poisoned and killed. Again, she's a private nurse to a lot of people. So in 1885, Jane killed her landlord and his wife. That's all I found out about that. They end up dead. They end up poisoned, right? They don't find this out till later, but they end up dead. Then in 1899, she moved in with her foster sister, Elizabeth Topan. Remember I said that there was one in particular we would talk about? Well, she moved in with Elizabeth and Elizabeth's husband. Now, Jane invited Elizabeth to the beach for a picnic and then poisoned Elizabeth with strychnine. Later, Jane would say of this murder, quote, "I held her in my arms and watched with delight as she gasped her life out," end quote. So the rumor was, though, that Jane killed Elizabeth because she wanted to be with Elizabeth's husband. But Elizabeth's husband wasn't having it. One, he probably loved Elizabeth. And secondly, ew, this seems kind of weird that all of a sudden Elizabeth dies and then Jane's like all hitting on him and stuff. So no, he kicks her out. He rejects her. So, that's kind of, you know, two for two there. But he did have an autopsy done on Elizabeth because evidently, you know, it wasn't like she was sickly and she wasn't old. And that's when they found out that she had been poisoned with strychnine. Very, very suspicious. In 1901, Jane moved in with the Davis family. This is where it all blows up for her. She had been Mr. Davis's wife, Maddie's nurse. And of course, Maddie died. Eventually, not only did she die, Jane kills off Davis, his sister, and two adult married daughters of his. The in-laws of one of the daughters requested an autopsy, and sure enough, the daughter had been poisoned. So the police are called. Now, nothing can be proven right away, but the police are kind of suspicious because they get word about more of it from Cambridge. They also get it from Massachusetts Hospital. They start talking and kind of researching about Jane. So, sorry about that. That was my phone, of course. I gotta just sit here for just a second. Take this, my boss. Okay, sorry about that. That was my boss. Okay. So they kind of go back and do some research on her, and a lot of people seem to end up dead that she's around. So what they do is, they send out a detail to follow her and keep tabs on her. So, like, now they're gonna watch her every move. There were several old people that died, that, you know, she was nursemaid to. So more people start dying. So finally, they think that they have enough evidence. And in October 1901, Jane Taupin was arrested for murder. For lots of them. She claims it was probably 100 or more. The police were sure about 30. She definitely can prove that she did 31. And I say prove because this woman... Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. So anyway, a lot came out at the trial. She had told other nurses that she did not see the use in, quote, keeping old people alive, end quote. She bragged about the murders and that she wanted... This is what I mean by, you know, she bragged about, like, all these murders, claimed 100, but definitely could prove 31, quote, to have killed more people, helpless people, than any other man or woman who ever lived, end quote. So, like, she is striving to be a serial killer. She blamed the murders, get this too, on the fact that she wasn't married, that she had been rejected by her high school boyfriend and her foster sister's husband. She said at the trial, quote, if I had been a married woman, I probably would not have killed all those people. I would have had my husband, my children, my home to take up my mind, end quote. So this is where I have to let the other shoe drop. See, Jane was so heartbroken about the rejection that she killed old people mostly. I've told you that. What I didn't tell you was that she would drug them to death, bring them back, then drug them again, all while holding them tight, and then she would fondle them and do other sexual stuff because she got sexual gratification from them dying and watching the death in their eyes. Sorry, that's some fucked up shit to me, by the way. I can't even, that's terrible. That's like the worst thing ever. Nah, it's not the worst thing ever, but you know what I mean. There's so much worse. We've talked about so much worse, and we are going to talk about so much worse. But that's pretty bad. That's pretty fucked up when you think about it. So she's rejected by her boyfriend. She's, you know, so she gets suicidal for that. She's rejected by her foster sister's husband, and she gets suicidal. And, you know, she's like killing people because she was rejected. So it's all due to sexual frustration. It's all due to, you know, the fact that she was an unmarried woman. Seems like... she could have, you know, I don't know, found somebody else. I don't know. I don't know what it was like back then, I'll be honest with you. It just seems kind of, ugh. Well, the New York Journal reported that she confessed to her lawyer about these murders, but she did not want to be declared insane. That way she would have a chance of being released someday. I mean, maybe not, right? Depending on what state, maybe Massachusetts at the time did not have the death penalty, especially for women, but what a fucked up thing. So she tells her lawyer, yes, I know I did all these. I'm confessing because it was premeditated and stuff. So, you know, I'm not insane, so you can't say I'm insane. But here's funny. The trial only lasted 8 hours. The jury only deliberated 27 minutes. It was so cut and dry. She fucking said she did it. I did it. I'm not insane though. But they disagreed with her. They found her bat crap fucking crazy and declared her criminally insane. So she was committed to Taunton Insane Hospital and remained there the rest of her life. She had several more suicide attempts and would taunt the staff at the hospital saying, quote, and this is crazy, quote, get some morphine, dearie, and we'll go out in the world. You and I will have a lot of fun seeing them die, end quote. I guess, you know. Anyway, she died October 29th, 1938. Jane Taupin, seriously insane bitch committing crimes. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to my wonderful and loving husband, Doug, who designed the logos for this podcast, as well as the podcast Off Kilter No Filter and Secret Spy Sisters. Off Kilter No Filter is a podcast about anything and everything with me and Byron Alexander. Please, if you liked Byron in the last episode, you're going to love him like crazy in Off Kilter No Filter. And check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. Doug also designed, as I said, the logo for my new podcast, Secret Spy Sisters. It's a podcast about women spies throughout all periods of history and around the globe. Come listen to all these podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcast you use. And make sure, well, I'm not on Apple Podcasts yet. This one is, but Secret Spy Sisters isn't. I'm still kind of working on that. I'll be honest with you. I've only had like 2 episodes. I have another one I'm supposed to put up, and I will, I promise. It's once a month. Right now, 3 podcasts, working full-time, having a teenage son that's in a lot of activities is kicking my fucking ass. But you know what? I'm going to, you know, Thanksgiving break is coming up. And I'm going to be able to, you know, record a bunch, hopefully, cross my fingers, or I'm just going to lay on the couch and drool because, you know, busy. Anyway, make sure to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, favorite us on Anchor and whatever podcast you use. Give me those comments in the comment section. I don't care if they're bad. Honestly, I really don't. Tay-Tay knows what I'm talking about. Tay-Tay Claire knows what I'm talking about because that person's the only one that has given me a comment on Apple Podcasts, as you know, and it was not like a stellar review. However, I learned from it. So I need that. I would love that. Give me that, right? You can also contact me at my website, www.womencommittingcrimes.com, where you'll find the podcast Women Committing Crimes, this one, as well as Secret Spy Sisters. You'll find pictures, as well as lists of all the women I plan on having an episode for both podcasts. There's also a suggestion tab there where you can let me know which women you'd like to hear about. There's also a place to comment on each of the episodes as well. So, you know, if you want to comment just about one specific episode, so come check it out. Thank you to Byron Alexander for the music for this podcast. The intro song is Forgive Me and the outro song is Who, both on Byron's amazing album Square One. There's going to be a link for it in the description if I remember, because I'm terrible at that. If you have a comment though, question, again, not only do it on the website, but you can get a hold of me at womencommittingcrimes@gmail.com. I'll even read your email, like I said in the very beginning of the podcast. Please support this podcast. Oh yes, I love the money option. The paid option is always good. That helps me be able to, you know, do more things with the podcast. More sound effects, better sound effects. I gotta tell you about the sound effects, right? So the sound effects that I'm trying to incorporate, I can't always though, because I don't have a lot of time for editing sometimes, but when I do incorporate them, I mean, listen to the Lorena Bobbitt one, you'll get a couple of the sound effects. But they are old CDs from like 30 years ago that I put on my laptop and then incorporate in. So I'd really like to be able to buy better sound effects on the internet and stuff, right? Download them instead of these old ones, which really aren't very good to begin with. But, you know, hey, they are what they are. But anyway, so please support the podcast. Go to https://anchor.fm/Elizabeth-Chase and click the support button. You can make a one-time donation, or you can sponsor on a monthly basis. Still working on that Patreon, but in the meantime, you can go to Anchor. You can do it on the website, too. They're connected. It would be greatly appreciated. You can tweet at CrimesWomen, or join the Women Committing Crimes Facebook group. I would love to see you there, too. All right. I know this was a short one, but the ones from the 19th century, unless they're like major deals like Lizzie Borden, and that one was real short because I was new at this, but, or, you know, somebody like that, it's really, you know, there's not a lot of information out there, unfortunately, but that's all right, right? This next one, let's find out what we're doing. Let's get that fishbowl. Let's find out. Here we go. Pieces of paper. Let's find out who it's going to be. Okay, let me open it up. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so this one will have a lot of information. Andrea Yates. Yikes. Well, Andrea Yates drowned her 5 kids in the tub, but did bring about awareness to postpartum depression. It is a thing. It is a serious thing. And we will go over that in 2 weeks. Again, Andrea Yates coming up, and we will discuss the very rough topic, very difficult to talk about topic, of postpartum depression. Tom Cruise, it is a thing, so fuck off. See you on the other side. Bye-bye.